Good morning. I think maybe this is our fourth winter. It's good to see each of you, and thank you for sharing that song. If I could have some help for the young people passing out. Samuel, if you want to help over here, please. And any extras, anybody comes in, can get that. I appreciate that very much. Beautiful song. Never knew the story behind it. It's wonderful to hear that. Today we're looking at the book of Ruth, chapter 2. And here we're looking at Naomi and Ruth. And verse here in Ruth 2:2, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain." Let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we bow our hearts before you today. We ask that your Spirit would speak to our hearts, and we ask that you would open our hearts and our ears and I pray that you would anoint your servant to speak forth your word. Lord, we give you praise and honor. We want to exalt your name. May Jesus be seen. And we pray that you would be with those who are ill. Your hand be upon them to strengthen them, to give them your strength, we pray. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I hope everyone has an outline. Anybody comes in, please get one. And if you don't have a pencil, maybe someone can help give you a pencil to help you there. All right. Now, what are two things that you could probably live without? Maybe there's different things that come to your mind. Maybe different foods that you could live without. Maybe there's different things that you could live without. And certainly one of those things that we could think about that we could live without would be, of course, this time of year, taxes are due this week. And I think we could probably live without taxes. It's always a headache to try to figure that out. And then I think another thing perhaps we could live without, we often have what we would call a toxic mother-in-laws. You know, the one that rings at the doorbell with a spoon in the hand, whatever. But in-laws. In-laws. And in a family there are certain relationships that are part of a family that we have to learn how to get along with one another in a family. The in-laws. And there are lots of jokes about the in-laws. You know, another name for in-laws in English is outlaws. So here we see in this story that we have chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. Naomi was bitter against God, but Ruth was willing for God to have His way in her life. So God began to work His work of grace with Ruth. You know, before God changes our circumstances, He wants to change our hearts. And if our circumstances change for the better, but we remain the same, our hearts are not changed, then we will become worse. So God's purpose is not to make us comfortable, but to make us conformable, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. You know, a lot of times we want comfort. We want to be comfortable. But God wants us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So Christ-like character is God's goal for each of His children. And if we want God to work in our lives and circumstances and accomplish His gracious purposes, then there are certain conditions that we must meet. And so, as we think about that, those conditions, before God changes our circumstances, He wants to change our hearts. What are three things that we must have to live physically? If you think about that, what are three things you must have to live physically? What comes to your mind? You have to live physically. Water, air, Very good. And food. Oh, excellent. You guys, very good. Air, water, food. These are necessaries for our to live physically. What are three things that we must have then to live spiritually? You know, we have a physical life that God has given to us, but we also have a spiritual life. And today's message, I'd like for you to consider three things we must have to live spiritually. And maybe several things come to your mind, but let me suggest to you these three. Faith, grace, and hope. And in this message, I want to share with you, this past week I've had the opportunity to visit with two people who perhaps are in the last stages of cancer. And no matter what difficulty we're facing, someone who's facing a more difficult challenge than we're facing, we realize the important things. And so talking to these two people this week, I want to share that as part of the message today. When you're facing that, the last stages of cancer, what are the important things? And so I want you to consider that. First of all, number one, we must live by faith in the Lord. In chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, Ruth was not the kind of woman who could remain idle. She asked Naomi's permission to glean in the fields so they would have food to eat. And so, taking the step of faith, you know, Ruth was, we saw the end of chapter 1, she returned very bitter. What happened? She went out full, came back empty. And so, you know, she kind of felt that way, empty and bitter. But Ruth said, let me go out to the harvest. Let's get back to the harvest. Let's have a new beginning. There's a new beginning here. And taking that step of faith. Now, the step of faith on Ruth's part was based on God's command in the law. You see, in the Old Testament law, provision was made for the poor. Whenever they reaped a harvest, God's people were to consider the poor and leave gleanings for them. So in reaping the harvest, they were to leave the grain that fell to the wayside. They were to leave that for the poor to come along, and that was to provide for them. Of course, Ruth was a poor widow. She was a foreigner, and she had every right to look to God for His help and provision. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18. God defends the cause of the fatherless, the orphan, and the widow. He loves the alien, the foreigner, giving him food and clothing. Here it speaks of the heart of God. And, you know, we have, as we sang that song today, we walk by faith and not by sight, as reminds us in 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Taking the steps of faith. Now, these steps of faith, we think of the crossing the Red Sea. The Egyptians were behind them. Before them was the Red Sea. And where do you turn? God told them that they were to cross the Red Sea. But to take that step of faith, God did this. He told Moses, put out the rod, and the sea departed. And then they started to cross the Red Sea. And then we see another step of faith. They came to the Promised Land. They had to cross the Jordan River. At that time, it was probably spring, and the water was high. And here God told them to step across the Jordan River. But this time, the water was not departed ahead of time. They came to the edge of the river, and they had to take the next step. And then the water parted. Now, God sometimes parts the water ahead of time as we take the step of faith. But sometimes the water does not part until the very moment you put your foot down into that, and then the water parts. And so we see here how that we're to walk by faith. We must take the steps of faith. And then secondly, we're to also, as we take those steps, then our life is to be a walk by faith. Step by step by step, walking with God by faith. To walk by faith means to take God His Word and then to act upon it. For faith without deeds is useless, James tells us. And so Ruth set out to find a field where she could glean. Get to the harvest. Let's get back to the harvest. And this was completely an act of faith because being a stranger, she didn't know where to go. She didn't know where to go. She was going to go out trusting God, walking by faith, taking those steps that God would provide. And, of course, she was vulnerable, had to be very careful where she went. It's interesting here as we look at this story that we're reminded of what happens here. Here in the verse here in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 3. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. You know, the Lord makes firm. He orders our steps of the one who delights in Him. Psalm tells us that in Psalm 37, verse 23. And it happened that she happened to go to the field of Boaz. It happened. Now, the word here that we often use is the word coincidence. Well, isn't that a coincidence that happened? Isn't that something that happened? But we need to consider, coincidence, or is it a God incidence? It happened that she walked into the field of Boaz, her relative. Is that a coincidence, or is that a God incidence? It's interesting that Albert Einstein made this comment. Coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. The things, our steps are ordered of the Lord. And these coincidences that happen in our life, we can't explain them, but it's God's way of working and yet remaining anonymous. It's very interesting that here in the book of Ruth, three times the name of God is mentioned, and 15 times the name of the Lord is mentioned. And the other book in the Bible that's named after a woman is the book of Esther. Esther, if you've ever read the book of Esther, it's a fascinating story. But one thing very unique about the book of Esther is that the book of Esther, not one time is the name of God or the name of the Lord mentioned. Not one time. And yet, throughout the story, you see God's fingerprints. You see God's working throughout the book of Esther. And so, is it a coincidence or is it a God incidence? God is at work. And so we need to realize that the object of our faith is very important, that we realize the object of our faith. It is here that Boaz enters the story. A relative of Elimelech, he was a man of standing, or it also means noble character in the community. His name means, Boaz means, in him is strength. And as it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was the clan of Elimelech. By God's providence, God directed her steps to that field that belonged to Boaz. And Ruth gleaned in the field that belonged to Boaz. Her steps were guided by the Lord. You see, God is constantly working with us, in us, and for us to accomplish His purposes. We pray. We seek God's will, we make decisions, and sometimes we make mistakes. But it's God who orders the events and guides His willing children. You can't explain it, but thank God you can believe it. In rely upon it. So faith has an object. There's an object of faith. What must I do to be saved? The question was asked. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith has an object. Believe in Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. And so we see here, what is faith? What is faith? I have no faith in my faith. My faith is in the faithful God. The object of our faith is not ourselves. How big or how small our faith may be. I have no faith in my faith, but my faith is in the faithful God. And so, The Case of Faith, Lee Strobin has written this book talking about the evidences for faith. And our Friday night, our youth group, we're studying why, knowing why you believe, the evidences for our faith. And so these things are important to know, but the object of our faith is not the evidences, that's support. But the object of our faith is a faithful God. And so, very important for us to remember this, our application number one. Life application. Believe God and His Word. Trust in God. Trust in His Word. And take the steps of faith and walk by faith. I told you about talking to this person who's perhaps in the final stages of cancer. And this person told me, I don't know that I have the faith to go through this. And I reminded them that the Bible tells us that we have the faith of a mustard seed. It's not how big our faith is. It's not in ourselves, but the faith of a mustard seed. Now you look at your Bibles, you look at the period at the end of the sentence, that's the size of a mustard seed. Very, very, the smallest seed. The smallest seed! The smallest faith is not how great our faith is, but the object of our faith is a great God. And so trusting in God, putting our faith in Him. And so remembering this, that it's not how big your faith is or how little your faith is. It's who you're trusting in. And so to live, we must live by faith. And then to live, number two, we must live by the grace of God. When Ruth set out that morning to glean in the fields, it tells us here she was looking for someone who would show her grace. She was a woman. She was a widow. A poor widow. She was a foreigner. Would anyone be gracious to her? Look at these verses here in Ruth. Behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Finding favor is the Old Testament equivalent of grace. Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner, finding grace? May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, grace. And so Paul reminds us of this. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. God's grace. And so, first of all, we need to understand the grace of God. The definition of grace. Grace is bestowed as favor, bestowed on someone who doesn't deserve it and can't earn it. Ruth was a woman, a poor widow, an alien, a foreigner. She was really at the lowest point of a social ladder. She's at the bottom. She deserves no favor. But God's grace, what is grace? Grace is freely given, unearned, undeserved. Grace. God's love, freely given, unearned and undeserved. And as we think about grace, I want you to think about this also. Grace is getting something you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Now, think about grace and mercy. We deserve, because of our sin, we deserve God's judgment, God's wrath. We deserve that, the judgment and wrath of God. And in mercy, God, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we put our faith in Jesus Christ, He does not give us what we deserve. And in grace, He gives us something we don't deserve. He gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. We're given new life. We're given a new relationship. We become children of God by grace. And so grace is so very important. And the source of grace, we need to remember, where does grace come from? Where does this grace come from that we need so desperately? The source of that grace. Let me remind you here the story of Ruth here. It tells us here that Boaz went out to the field. And Boaz greeted those who were working in the field. The Lord be with you. And those working in the field answered, the Lord bless you. And then Boaz asked his foreman, the one who was in charge there. Boaz is the Lord of the harvest. He's the master. But he asked his foreman, who is that young woman? Who is she? Oh, she's a Moabite who came here with Naomi. She's a hard worker. And so he observed Ruth. Now, grace is a gift of God. Grace is God's unmerited favor and love. For as by grace you've been saved through faith, as not from yourselves, it's a gift of God. Something that God gives to us freely. But the channel of that grace here was Boaz. How good it is to know that God has good people living in bad times. Boaz was concerned about his workers. He wanted them to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And when Boaz saw Ruth, it was love at first sight. And from that point on, Boaz focused his attention on Ruth and not only on the harvest. And when we commit our lives to the Lord, what happens to us happens by way of appointment, not by accident. And so we see Boaz finding favor, Boaz, the Lord of the harvest, giving grace to this poor woman, Ruth. And so certainly Jesus Christ points to Jesus Christ, giving us favor when we do not deserve it. And so I want you to think about this here. Boaz then meets Ruth. And in meeting Ruth, he says these words to her. He greets her. Don't go to another field. Stay here and work alongside my servant girls here, he told her. And then watch them and go wherever they go. The men won't hurt you. I've already told them to stay away from you. In fact, go drink from the water when you're thirsty. And so we see here, Ruth bowed her head. She thanked Boaz. And she said, Why are you so kind to a foreigner? And he said these words, we've all heard how well you've treated Naomi. You left your parents and your country to come here and care for her. May the Lord richly bless you. And Ruth said to this, may I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. There are evidences of grace. As you look at this story, there are evidences of grace. But as you look at your life, there are evidences of grace. God's undeserved favor. Boaz took the initiative. This is an evidence of grace. Grace means that God makes the first move to come to our aid, not because we deserve anything, but because He loves us. Then Boaz spoke to Ruth. It was he who first spoke to her, for she would not have dared to speak to a man, a stranger, the master of the harvest. God has spoken to us in Jesus Christ through His Word. Boaz also instructed her what to do. He spoke to her first. Boaz also promised to protect Ruth and provide for her needs. Boaz instructed his workers to protect her and to work with her. He even instructed them to deliberately drop some of the harvest so she could pick it up. Handfuls of purpose. Drop extra along the way that she could pick up. You know, I think about this. I think about what I read one time in a book. A man was going through a very difficult time. His wife was very ill. He did not have any medical insurance. He had gotten off the mission field. He came down the elevator. He just got the bill from the hospital. How am I going to pay this bill? I have nothing. He came down the elevator. As soon as the elevator doors opened, a man met him from a church that he knew of that supported him. He said, "How's your wife doing?" She's doing better. And so he went with them and visited the wife. And before he left, that man handed him an envelope. "This is from our church for you, just to let you know that we're praying for you." And he opened that envelope. And in that envelope was exact to the penny, the exact amount that was owed. The hospital bill was written on a check in that envelope. An amen from heaven. He didn't know, "Lord, I don't know how we're going to go on. Could you show me? Give me an amen from heaven." And that's what that was, an amen from heaven. He also, it says here, Boaz also ate with her, personally handed her the food, had lunch with her. We're undeserving foreigners. We're all, by the grace of God, we become members of God's family. Boaz encouraged Ruth. She forgot her fears and rested on His promises. If we look at ourselves, we're going to be distressed. If we look at others, we may be even depressed. But look up at Jesus and you'll be blessed. And so we see here that Boaz saw to it that she was satisfied. Ruth had taken refuge under His wings. Under His wings, this phrase we find here in Ruth chapter 2, it sometimes refers to a hen protecting the chicks under the wings. In Psalm 91 verse 4 and Matthew 23, the Lord speaks about under His wings, under the chicks, the small chicks under the wings of the hen for protection. Maybe it also refers to the wings of the cherubim, the Holy of Holies, of how He protects. The lost world labors for that which doesn't satisfy, but the believer has full satisfaction because of the grace of God. We're under His wings. Remember that. You feel, what am I going to do? Remember, you're under His wings. So there are evidences of grace in our lives. And let us look at those evidences of grace. Let us not lose sight of those evidences of grace that are there. And that leads us to our application number 2. Receive the gift of God's grace and see the evidences of God's grace in your life. I'm unworthy, but accept the gift of God's grace and then see the evidences that are there. Lee Strobin has also written another book called The Case for Grace. He explores the evidences of transformed lives. Peoples whose lives have changed completely because of God's grace. Think of the Apostle Paul. How his life changed from one who persecuted and killed Christians to one who gave out the gospel. We had the opportunity this past week to go see the story of Paul, the Apostle of Christ. A powerful story. And again, that person who is in the final stages of cancer said to me these words, "I don't know if I can fight anymore. I don't feel I have any strength left to fight this cancer. What do I do? Do I give up or keep on?" What do you say to a person like that? I said these words here. By the grace of God, take one day at a time. That's all you have. Take one day at a time. By the grace of God, live one day at a time. And ask God to give you that grace. And so, how important that we live by faith, that we live by grace. We all take one day at a time by the grace of God. And then number three, we must live in the hope of Christ. Ruth had hope. All day long she labored with a happy and a hopeful heart. She didn't have to worry about the men harassing her or the other workers hindering her. She had food and when she was hungry. She had a drink when she was thirsty and a place to rest when she became weary. The grain she gleaned amounted to about a half a bushel, enough food for two women for nearly a week. God had purposely left this. She also had some food left over from her lunch. And so we think about Ruth here. Lord, help me to face today living in hope. Help me to face today living in hope. And so she returned from one day out in the harvest. And the next day, she would go out to the harvest living by grace, by faith, and by hope. And I can imagine that she returned from the harvest that first day. She met Naomi. "Shalom, peace be to you, Naomi. Let me tell you about the field. The field I went to, there was lots of grain, but it was a wonderful place to go. And I, at this field, I had lots of gleaning. I gained a lot of good grain. But then let me tell you, I happened upon the field of our nearest kin. I happened upon the field of a gracious man by the name of Boaz. And I learned of God's favor. I learned of grace. Shalom, Ruth. The Lord bless him, Boaz. God has not stopped His kindness to us. The man is our close relative. He is one of our kindred redeemers, one of our guardian redeemers." Next week in Ruth chapter 3, we're going to learn more what that means. A guardian, kinsman, redeemer. And so, rejoicing over the hope that they now had, Naomi also had hope. We see the hope here. Naomi had. We hear a new word from Naomi come from her lips. Blessed. She was not only blessed Ruth's benefactor, Boaz. She also blessed the Lord. There's blessing coming out. Praise coming out. She was moved from bitterness to blessedness. What a change taking place in the heart of this grieving widow. This change came about because of the new hope she had in her heart. The one who gave her that new hope was Boaz. She had hope because of who Boaz was. He's a kinsman, a relative. Her relationship, her hope grew even stronger because of the words of Boaz revealed his love for Ruth. Should not we who believe in Jesus Christ rejoice and hope when you consider who He is, what He's done for us, what He says to us in His Word? There's no reason for us to feel hopeless. We have hope. You can focus your faith on Jesus Christ. The exciting new hope that now possessed the two widows was centered in a person, Boaz. just as our hope is centered in Christ, our Savior. He is our hope. We see this in several verses in the New Testament. He is our hope. And so life application number three, take hope in your circumstances, whatever they might be, and know that in Christ we have a living hope. We are born again to a living hope. And so we also see the case for hope. E. Strobin wrote this book here, looking ahead with confidence and courage because of hope. And so that man with cancer this week, he said these words, "I don't know that I have any hope." Tried to encourage him, yet yes, no matter what we face in life, there is hope. There is hope. And so it's encouraging to see the changes that have taken place in Naomi because of what Ruth did. God used Ruth to turn Naomi's bitterness into gratitude, her unbelief into faith, her despair into hope. One person trusting the Lord, obeying His will, can change a situation from defeat to victory. Ruth's faith in God's Word led her to the field of Boaz. And the love of Boaz for Ruth compelled him to pour out his grace upon her and meet every need that she had. And so, may we live by faith in the Lord, by the grace of God and the hope of Christ. These things we must have to live spiritually. And so after speaking with we cried together. As he faced this, and we shared these things, and he put his head down, and he went to sleep the rest. I appreciate your prayer for these two friends. Lord, let's bow in prayer together. Oh Lord, we come before you today. Whatever we're facing, you know what it is. Every person here, whatever they're facing, Lord, in our lives and our families, Lord, help us to remember these words today. Faith, grace, and hope. Lord, use these words to encourage our hearts today. Faith, taking the steps and walking by faith. Grace, accepting your unmerited favor and seeing your grace to us each day and living day by grace and hope, having a hope. Our hope is in you. Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. Encourage our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.